हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत Madhya Lila, Chapter 20, Lord Chaitanya instructs Sanatana Goswami in the science of the Absolute Truth. Okay, so this is, Prabhupada says that up to here, the many kinds of expansions have been described, now the manifestations of the Lord's different potencies will be described. Although there is no question of creation as far as the spiritual world is concerned, the spiritual world is nonetheless manifested by the supreme will of Sankarsana. The spiritual world is the abode of the pastimes of the eternal spiritual energy. Gokula, the supreme abode and planet, appears like a lotus flower that has 1,000 petals. The whirl of that lotus is the abode of the Supreme Lord Krishna. This lotus-shaped supreme abode is created by the will of Lord Ananta. Footnote 62. This verse is quoted from the Brahma Samhita 5.2. By the agency of the material energy, this same Lord Sankarsan creates all the universes. The dull material energy known in modern language as nature is not the cause of the material universe. Without the Supreme Personality of Godhead's energy, dull matter cannot create the cause of manifestation. Its powers does not arise from the material energy itself, but is endowed by Sankarsana. Dull matter alone cannot create anything. The material energy produces the creation of the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Iron itself has no power to burn, but when iron is placed in fire, it is empowered to burn. Quote, Balaram and Krishna are the original efficient and material causes of the material world. As Mahavishnu and the material energy, they enter into the material elements and create the diversities by multi-energies. Thus they are the cause of all causes. Footnote 63. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.46.31. Okay. So this aspect here of being able to see that you're dealing always with the Supreme Lord, the same person, and then he takes all his different incarnations and everything. So when one sees in this vision, one actually is appreciating the Lord's position. That's a favorable situation. As you see here, is that it's talking about Sankarsana creating the spiritual worlds and creating the material worlds. Mm-hmm. And so we know Karanadakshay Vishnu is expansion of Sankarsana. But it didn't say Karanadakshay Vishnu. You know he did, but it's Sankarsana.
Yes.
And then it's saying this Krishna and Balaram, they create everything. So the whole material and spiritual, I'm saying? So those who get bent out of shape because, we come from here and there, they don't actually understand the philosophy. Krishna's doing all this. Like that. And that's the whole position. Since they've been out of shape, why would anybody higher up the line want to deal with them? You know what I'm saying? Because it's, this is wrong. How can this happen to me? And so it's a matter of justice. Justice is for the material world. So you think Balaram's going to deal with that? No, you're going to deal with the material world. Just be happy as Karanadakshay Vishnu and not Kiradakshay Vishnu on an off day.
You know, otherwise, you know, his peon takes care of these things, you know, when they're sweeping in the corner. Oh, hey, what do I found here? Okay, yeah, okay. So that's the whole thing, is that we make these distinctions more. The acharyas don't make such distinctions. It's a matter of the pastimes. It's the flavor. He's doing this, so Krishna is doing this. You call him like this. He's doing that, you call him like that. So it's the same person. So we can't make too much of a distinction. Prabhupada warned about making too much of a distinction between Krishna and Vishnu. You know, because that tendency is there. But it's a matter of understanding Krishna and pleasing Krishna. And then Krishna being pleased, then everything works out nicely. Then we are able, because only when we understand how the spiritual world works, then we can go there. Right? If we don't appreciate it, then why would we go there? You know, if we're surrendered to Krishna and we're absorbed in Krishna, then naturally that's where you go. But if we think Krishna's, you know, why did he do this? Why am I here? Why am I suffering? Then, you know, where else can you go? Can't go to the spiritual world. You won't like it there. You know? Does that make sense? Yes.
Can you summarize that to appreciate the spiritual world, first we need to appreciate the Dhamma?
Yes, I mean the Dhamma and the spiritual world are the same.
Yes, yes.
Because that's the whole point, is self-realization means actually understanding the Dhamma. Mm-hmm. Because you understand the place of the Lord's pastimes, then that's how we fit into here. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions this several times. Surup Siddhi is understanding the spiritual world, understanding the place of Krishna's pastimes. Mm-hmm. That's Surup Siddhi. We take it, it's about myself, because we're always so self-centered. Yes. Surup Siddhi means I know who I am in the spiritual world. And it's kind of like, whoopee.
Yes, yes.
You know, like, you know, and so? You know, so that's the whole thing, you know. You know, that's like let us say, you have one personality, and he's in prison. Okay? Then talking to other prisoners, they ask, how do you get in here? What do you do? Oh, I'm the CEO of this big, big company. But, you know, I made some, you know, I was fiddling around with the finances, and the IRS guys, you know, rolled along, and here I am. But I'm the CEO of that company. It's kind of like, so, what can you do? Therefore you can run your company? Does it make any difference? In the prison? It doesn't make any difference inside or outside. So until you understand how the outside world works, then only now you're qualified to go there.
Yes.
You know, as soon as he's telling the guards, you know, I'm the CEO, how can you deal like this and that? He's not getting parole. You know, but he understands the outside, he has the attitude, he's trying to deal properly and all that. Then they'll go, okay, let's put this guy up for parole. He gets out. So this whole focus, it's always self-centered. But it's supposed to be Krishna-centered. So therefore, when we understand the Dham, how we fit into the Dham, that's Surup Siddhi. Because unless you understand Krishna, his associates, the past, all that, then what does it matter who you are? You know, you'd be going around, hey, here I am. It's kind of like, huh? You know? So that's there's a whole different approach here. Different approach that is being given is that we want to move in these higher realms, appreciate these higher realms, which is very, it's natural and it's very wonderful. It's given here by the acharyas. But the real appreciation is how wonderful Krishna's pastimes are going on. How that same Krishna in all these different incarnations is performing all these wonderful pastimes. And why? Just for the devotees, that's all. Right? All the different forms of Vaikuntha are simply to interact with the devotees. All the incarnations and that in the material world are simply to, you know, attract the devotees. There is no other purpose. Even he comes to destroy the demons, that's only because they give trouble to the devotees. Otherwise, you know, you have 10 shoes in a bucket, who cares? You know, but if your foot's in there also, then you know you want to be a little careful about those shrews. You know? Yes.
I was about to ask if it's a proper understanding to see the spiritual world as the place to reciprocate to the pure love of the devotee with Krishna, and then the material world a place to reciprocate to the conditioned soul's desires.
Yes, but in such a way that in the material world, reciprocating with the desires, but trying to bring them to the point that they appreciate the spiritual world. Means, in other words, being when we say it's you know, Durga, it's a prison house, it's literally the point. It's for reformation of the soul. You know? So the actual point is reformation. We tend to look more at retribution. And that's a fault. Because, you know, someone can move forward. That's the main thing. So that someone's, you know, talking about Krishna and this, that's the nice thing. But it's not favorable. Rupa Goswami is saying, pure devotee, it's favorable. So when you're saying Krishna's making a mistake or he's unjust or this or that, that's not favorable to Krishna. Not at all. You may be, but we have to remember, Kamsa was Krishna conscious. But it wasn't favorable. Right, so we don't hear about Kamsa ending up as one of the associates in Braj. You know, he went there. Purnamasi turned him into a gopi and made him, you know, wash pots and stuff like that. And he just said, "Let me out of here." You know, so then they can. But it says, "But you better not come back here again. Otherwise, next time you're not getting off so easy." Right? You know, so that's why he never came. Right? Mathura is so close. Why wouldn't he come down to Mathura himself? Because he was afraid of Purnamasi, you know? Like that. You know, he'd have all the calluses in all the wrong places, you know? He's supposed to have them from the bowstring and stuff like that, you know? Then, yeah. So, can you imagine all the... Where do you get those calluses from?
Why do you still have a
mustache? Yeah. So we have. It's out of Krishna's affection for the living entities that he makes the material world. Because if it was about retribution, then why would he make the material world? You know, you're a nonsense. So then, you know, find some other thing for them. So he's able, even though they're wrong, he still is trying to take care. Yeah. That's the whole thing. Said that's the nature of the father. The father always cares for the children.
So even when he says, "I cast them down to the lowest region," that's his kindness.
It's kindness because that's actually what they want. He said because they're demonic. They want nasty stuff. You know, like that. Remember one devotee telling that he had never discussed with Prabhupada about his previous lifestyle before joining. And Prabhupada was talking to some Indian gentleman. And that devotee happened to be sitting there. And he started talking about his lifestyle before he joined. Like that. He was one of those ones where, you know, when the sun comes up, you go to sleep. And when it goes down, you get back up. You know, he was one of those wallahs. You know, so, you know, really degraded lifestyle. And so then from there is that, you know, you stay up all night, then you're like, so then why wouldn't you be therefore an animal that is nocturnal? You know, why would you be, you know, be someone who's up in the day? You know, so it's according to their desire. And then by that, they get frustrated, and then when they come back to the human form of life, then there might be, you know, maybe I'll stay awake in the day. You know, because if you're awake in the day, then you might come across the devotees, you know. So it's everything Krishna does is always for the benefit of the living entity. We may appreciate it or not, you know, but that's actually why he's doing everything. Because he has affection for us. We're the one that's you know, coming up on the short side there.
But otherwise, Krishna is not. So that's the whole thing, is that appreciating that, then how much arrangement Krishna does and how many incarnations are there. You know, one for, you know, he's all for the devotee's pleasure, but how many of them are there just to pick up the fallen conditioned souls? And how many of them are from the spiritual world that they come down here just for this aspect? You know, so it's very you know, special. And all that. So we should just appreciate, if one has that humble, surrendered attitude, it's wherever you fit in. Like you see the prayers of the acharyas and the songs of the acharyas. There's never a time when they're talking about how fabulous they are, you know, or how they deserve some, you know, a better deal, you know. So that kind of attitude, then we see is that everything moves forward, you know, because we're seeing in the Paramatma Sandarbha, it's talking about how the creation of the material energy. You know, how it has the Jiva Maya and the Guna Maya, right? And so those aspects like that. But at the same time, is now here Krishna's Kaviraj is pointing out, you know, he's from Lord Chaitanya speaking, that materially can't do it itself. You know, it's coming from Sankarsana. You know, so then he says Krishna and Balaram, they're taking that. Balaram and Krishna are the original efficient material causes of the material world. So in other words, it's by Krishna's desire that all this is there and all this goes on. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, as Mahavishnu and the material energy, they enter into the material element. So so Krishna and Balaram, as Mahavishnu, the material, they enter in like that. That's how it works. Right? You know, it's just like you're going to do a certain job. Let's say you're going to go into the garage and do a thorough cleaning, right? You're going to go in there in your suit? No. You're going to put on something appropriate for it. So Krishna and Bhagavan are going to enter into the material world, take care of everything there. They're going to take that form that matches. And then in that form, Krishna's dealing with you, and then you're grumpy. Why in this form? Why he's not in a tuxedo? You know, it's kind of like, you know, what are you talking about? It says, thus they are the cause of all causes, meaning Krishna and Balaram. The form of the Lord that descends in the material world to create is called an avatar, or incarnation. All the expansions of Lord Krishna are actually residents of the spiritual world. But when they descend into the material world, they are called incarnations, avatars. To glance over that material energy and empower her, Lord Sankarsana first incarnates as Lord Mahavishnu. Right, so it's Sankarsana who's doing that. That's the whole point, is that aspect of taking care of the material creation, that's in Balaram. Mm-hmm. Did you ever find that term? Did you come across the term? No. That he has that particular quality, but he does it through Sankarsana. He doesn't, you know, himself. So he does that. But the point is where would that come from unless it's Krishna's desire? Because Balaram's not going to do stuff on his own. So when it says, by Sankarsana's will, you know, the spiritual material world's created, that's because it's Krishna's will. And he, as the Supreme Personality of Servant or Godhead, takes care of that. He gets it done. You know, it's like you have the head person and then you have the manager. And so the point is everything's running by the desire of the head person, but the manager takes care of it. So you can say Balaram's the ultimate manager. Right?
What's the function of Mahasankarsana?
It means, from what I understand, Mahasankarsana, they're what's that, the, how you say? He's the Lord of the Jnana Shakti. From there, you get the basis of everything. So just like you have the manifestation of everything, you also have then the basis of it, like that. So between the three personalities, then there, Krishna is the Lord of the Icha, Balaram the Kriya, and Vasudeva is the Jnana.
And so that, and then their expansions go out, you know, into Dwarka, and then continue, you know, and like that into Vaikuntha. And then when you go the other way, you get the Purusha avatars, and you get the material world, and then all those expansions there. But as it said here, they're all residents of the spiritual world, but then they come down here. So the 24 Vishnumurtis, they come down here. So down here, they're called incarnations. Even Krishna, he's an incarnation. Just because he's come here, even though he may be Swayam, the original, but because he's come here. Any manifestation of the Lord here is called an incarnation.
It's interesting how philosophers here, they say Krishna is coming from Vishnu, which in one sense is true, but they think that Vishnu is the original.
Yes. But at the same time, as you do have, when Swayam Krishna comes, he bypasses all that.
Yes.
So he's not coming through Giridakshat. But in other times, then Krishna, you know, performing his Vrindavan pastimes and that, then we'll be expanding from Giridaksha Vishnu. Like that. Because then, you know, the amount, the potency that you're doing, it's enough. You know, it's like that, how you say? One devotee was telling me about his father. He went to the, down to the, he wanted to get a new car. So he went down to the Bentley place and was discussing with them about what he's looking for and this and that. And then in the discussion, he brought up how much horsepower is there in this particular model. And the salesman said, enough. You know. You know, because you have to remember is that the engines from those kind of, you know, those factories make the ones that they use on planes and stuff, you know, so it's enough. I think it was in the news some years back in England that there'd be some guy who would be there in a car. You know, it would look like something, but he's changed it and put in this big monster, you know, one of these 12-cylinder engines in it. And it'd be something. So it's like a sleeper. But he'd go just a little bit fast so that it'd catch the police's attention. So then they start to chase him, and then he would floor it and just disappear. They could never catch the guy. Because the guy would go so fast, he could, you know, he'd just go and then disappear.
That's why in Dubai they use Ferrari for the police cars. Because they can catch those guys in Ferraris.
Yes, because they can catch all those crazy guys in their Ferraris, yes. That's a good point. Yeah, so you know, appreciate that one has to appreciate how the Lord is doing all this, because you could say, is, you know, someone's behaving badly, why go to so much effort? But for affection, one always goes to effort. And so all this is happening because of that. So if that's appreciated, then one can move forward very nicely. You know, all these different obstacles of facility or liberation or all these distractions that one may have. But when you look at it from the point of Krishna's affection, then it's there. And you may doubt the affection, but children do that all the time. But that they're famous for that. You know, it's kind of like, you know. But the point is that once they grow up and they have kids, then they understood, oh, that's what my parents were doing. Yeah. To glance over the material energy and empower her, Lord Sankarsana first incarnates as Lord Mahavishnu. Quote, in the beginning of the creation, the Lord expanded himself in the form of the Purusha incarnation, accompanied by all the ingredients of material creation. First, he created the 16 principal energies suitable for creation. This was for the purpose of manifesting the material universes. 64. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.1. Karanodakshai Vishnu, Mahavishnu, is the first incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and he is the master of eternal time, space, cause, and effects. The mind, the elements, the material ego, the modes of nature, the senses, the universal form of the Lord, Gavodakshai Vishnu, and the sum total of all living beings, both moving and non-moving. 65. This quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.6.42. That original personality of Godhead named Sankarsana first lies down in the river Viraja, which serves as a border between the material and the spiritual world. As Karanabdishai Vishnu,
He is the original cause of the material creation. The Viraja, or causal ocean, is the border between the spiritual and material world. The material energy is situated on one shore of that ocean, and it cannot enter onto the other shore, which is the spiritual sky. So the material energy doesn't go beyond that Viraja. That's the whole specialty of it. Quote, in the spiritual world, there is neither the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, nor a mix of both, nor is there adulterated goodness, the influence of time or Maya herself. Only the pure devotees of the Lord, who are worshipped both by demigods and by demons, reside in the spiritual world as the Lord's associates. Srila Prabhupada. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.10 was spoken by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. He was answering the questions of Parikshit Maharaj, who asked how the living entity falls down into the material world. Sukadeva Goswami explained the cream of Srimad Bhagavatam in four verses, which had been explained to Lord Brahma at the end of the severe austerities he performed for 1,000 celestial years. At that time, Brahma was shown the spiritual world and its transcendental nature. So, you can say, this might answer a few dilemmas here, is that this point, he's asked how the living entity falls down. And so then he's explaining it through the Chatur Shloki, which was given to Brahma after 1,000 celestial years of austerity. So in other words, if you hear the Chatur Shloki and then the explanation, and it doesn't make sense to you on how that explains how he fell down, then you just might be missing a few thousand celestial years of austerity to understand it. So therefore, don't worry about it. Does that make sense? And if you worry about it, then, go ahead, sit down, get your deer skin and go for it. Yes?
It is also mentioned in the Bhagavatam that this was the third round he set for the thousand celestial years of austerity.
The third round.
Yes. First he meditated and he came to the conclusion karma is the thing.
Okay.
He was engaged in karma, realized it's not. Another 1,000 years, jnana is the thing. Not really. And then this is the third round.
Oh, and then he understood bhakti.
Not really, but it was revealed to him.
Yes, but I'm saying that yeah, by that then it's revealed.
Yeah.
Like that. So that's the thing, understanding the spiritual world, then that makes you qualified. Yeah, so then he was shown the spiritual world and its transcendental nature. Brahma Samhita then said he understood his position.
Yeah. Maharaj is trying to work up his sikhi. First Brahma hears the sound tapa, then he meditates.
Right.
The conclusion of his meditation, he received the Gayatri Mantra. Is that correct?
At some point, he got the Gopal mantra.
Yeah, he received the Gopal mantra, the Chatur Shloki, and gets the vision of the spiritual world. Is that the sequence?
Basically.
Basically, because I think it's through the meditation with the, because when they're meditating, they're using mantra.
Yes.
So when he was using Gopal, that's then when everything was revealed. Then he got initiated. So Gopal's before he was initiated.
Yes, so Gopal is after tapa, not after tapa.
Yeah, after tapa, but before initiation. Because initiation means kama gayatri, not Gopal mantra.
Yes, mm-hmm.
For us, in the Brahma line. Others, then there might be some other way it's used. But at least for us, then that's how we're using it.
Because it says then you become twice born.
Yes.
Then the spiritual is revealed.
Yes. Because with the Gopal mantra, you're not twice born. Like that. Only with Kama, then you're twice born. Like that. How do you see? Okay, these are your wallets?
No.
No?
My room.
Your wallet. Okay.
That is Kanaina Chalati.
That is Kanaina Chalati.
Same.
He's also Kanaina Chalati.
He's Wala.
He is Kanaina Chalati's Wala, and he is your Wala. These two are. Okay. Yes.
I think Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati mentions in that purport on Brahma Samhita that the Gopal mantra, as we know, Gopal Gayatri, actually serves as the bija for Kama Gayatri.
It's called Kama Bija.
Yeah.
Because it's not a Gayatri. Gayatri has to have 24 syllables.
Right. That's why.
Just like you have the Mula mantra. So it's the Mula mantra, you can say, for Kama. Just like we have Guru Mula mantra, then Guru Gayatri. Mula mantra, Gaur Gayatri. It's the Mula mantra for Kam Gayatri.
Yes.
Yeah.
Brahma Gayatri.
Sorry?
And Brahma Gayatri is what?
Brahma Gayatri is a Gayatri.
It doesn't have mulas, bijas?
Yeah. I mean, that's the Burbhuvaswa, that aspect. Because it's made of those three. It has those aspects, and then it has that at the beginning. So it has its own. So Om is the central point. And then that expands as Bhuvaswa, that expands in the Mahavyaratis, that expands as the Gayatri, that expands as Purushushupta. Like that, so. Yeah. Yeah? Okay. Yeah, so this is this whole thing is, it's been explained. It's just because they turn their attention away from Krishna. That's the actual point. Mm-hmm. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, how did the accident happen? He wasn't paying attention. Right? That's the real reason. If he was paying attention, then all the mechanical things wouldn't have happened. Right? So it's not because of the mechanical things the accident happened. Does that make sense? This is a problem that we have. It's a disease. Is that we're only happy if you talk about the mechanics, the jnana shakti. We talk about the jnana shakti, the situation, then we'll say, yes, that explains everything, but it doesn't. What's the willpower? What is the result trying to be gotten? What's the experience? That's the real things. Because in the spiritual world, the emphasis is there, because the Icha Shakti is the main. Then Kriya and Jnana support that. So if I'm going to do an activity, that's supported by Jnana. But we take it, unless Jnana is there, so we take that as the basis. Because that's the thing. We want to enjoy the place without Krishna. But unless we understand the place, that actually then establishes your position. Right? So when I understand the Dham, that it's all serving Krishna, and I as a living entity can fit into that as a servant, that's Sarup Siddhi. Because the point is, it doesn't matter, you have your spiritual form, but you don't know this, then you're going to end up here. That's the whole thing. So that's the point. No, but he put this, and his foot slipped, and then this happened, and then all that. Oh, that's what happened. No, he wasn't paying attention. That's what happened. So that's the thing. Is Bhagavatam's already explained it. Prabhupada's explained it. But no. We have to know the mechanics of. You know, that'd be like saying, can you put the blanket down here, but can you explain to me how the blanket is made and, you know, where they got it, what kind of machine, you know, like this, you know, what's the electricity, you know, like that in it, and how many, you know, things per inch and all that, and where did the wool come from, and, you know, like that, what was the name of the guy, and, you know, and what was the name of the goat that he sheared to get it, and all that, then only I can use the blanket. It's like, none of that matters. That the jnana, shakti, and kriya, they're taking care of that. The point is Krishna's pleasure. Bahir mukh means we've turned our face away from Krishna. That's how we're here. You know? You know, say, why do you turn your face? I mean, why do you do anything? You know? Why did you pick this, not that? You know, if we're going to have a, I say, like the, what do you call it, angel? How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? You know, we want one of those. So, there was a particular mother from a particular ethnicity who, on her son's birthday, gave him a green shirt and a blue shirt. You know, both together. So then, you know, that was an evening. So the next morning, he chooses one of them and puts it on. And as soon as he walks out of his room, then the mother says, "What's the matter? You didn't like the other one?" No?
It seems that people actually look for justification, so they blame the management.
Yes.
Actually, their fault.
It's their fault.
There's something wrong with the system. No, there's something wrong.
No, something wrong. The system's perfect. I mean, that's why we hear the stories of so many individuals following the system, going back to Godhead. But we're saying, no, unless I know this, but it's like that didn't come up at all. Prahlad Maharaj, is that a discussion? You know, Haridas Thakur, is any of these ones who we see attain perfection, is it a discussion? Is it an important point? You know, Sanatana Goswami, where you have the, you know, most, he's asking, who am I? Everybody else says I'm a great scholar, but I know I'm an idiot because I don't even know who I am. He starts there. He didn't say, you know, how did I get here? You know, Prabhupada makes that point. You're out in the middle of the ocean. A boat comes along, throws you a line, and they say, well, I'm not taking this line until you explain to me how I got here. It's kind of like, get up on the boat. Then, you know, things are more clear, you know. No, I'm staying in the water until I know this point, you know. So it's like, foolish. It's just unnecessary points. Unnecessary, because it's already been answered. Prabhupada's saying, how are the living any falls in the material world? He explains from the Kriyam of Srimad Bhagavatam, the four verses. They explain everything. Because the point is it shows how you get out. And so if we look at it, what is it? It means, like you come into this room through the door over there. Mm-hmm. So now if I ask how to get out, that explains how I got in. But the difference is now we're facing Krishna. We're favorable to Krishna. That's why we're going out. But then if we're turned the other way, we're not favored. That's how we got in. So it's just, you just reverse it. But like Prabhu was saying, is that no, we want a justification, and why this, and I'm so fabulous, and I'm the center of the universe, and why would I be here? It's kind of like you just answered your own question. Yeah. Like that, you know. How you say? From the horse's mouth, right? That's the authority. You have that saying? Yeah. I don't know where it comes from, but you have this saying where you're trying to say, you know, when the person who, they're the one that either was involved or something like that, and when they say it, then it's kind of like you take that as authority, as from the horse's mouth, you know. It's like, you know, it's like this. I don't know, maybe they're talking about Mr. Ed, I'm not sure. Like that? No, there was that show about a talking horse.
Yeah, the talking horse.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe that's where it's from. You know, that maybe that was a line in there. You know, right from the horses. I thought the horse said it, so like that. Come on, it's got to be true. You know, you know, like we say something, then the tick ticking like that.
But Maharaj, the other point of justification is the pretext.
A pretext.
It's a justification not to surrender.
Not to surrender.
Yeah. Find the fault and say, see, there's a defect in your system, so I have no reason to surrender. I want to remain independent.
Yes. Yes, of course. And then here we are. You know, it's just like, oh, if we fell from Brahman, then now I'm active and this position's better than that, so actually I'm doing better than before, so get off my back. You know, I've already improved this much. You know, yeah. It's sad, but, you know, living entities, he has
He's good at excuses. He's good at excuses.
But Maharaj, in Kali Yuga there is no quality.
So no.
You cannot expect to understand.
No, but that's why it's given such a simple thing, to chant, take prasad. I mean, that what a fabulous... I mean, look at all these other guys, what they were doing. What is Brahma doing? You know? Is he taking prasad? 1,000 years, he's not eating one thing. You know, it's like that. We get prasad, so, you know. You know, much better system, right? You know? Like
there's
that.
Nobody around to talk.
Yeah, no one around to talk to. Come on. You're just sitting there on your lotus all alone, you know, in the darkness, you know. It's not even like a, you know, a table lamp on, or, you know, it's just, you know. It's just so we're doing really good. But as Prabhu points out, it's that independence. Yeah. And the thing is Krishna's so kind that if any bhakti's been done, it won't be lost. So even if one does get all grumpy and all this and that, the point is you'll continue whenever you decide, well, maybe it's better to surrender. So that might be later in this life, might be later in the day, you know, in the afternoon, then you think, oh, that was stupid. It might be after a few years, might be after 10 years, 20 years, you know, otherwise then next lifetime, you know. Yeah, next lifetime, then the Rath Yatra is going by, and wow, what's this? You know. And then, you know, you went, wow, such a nice devotee, he joins so easily. He was already, you know, already doing all that, doing now that last life.
Hmm?
Yeah, he's already been around a while. Yeah. Okay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, Maya has two functions. One is called Maya and the other is called Pradhan. Maya refers to the efficient cause and Pradhan refers to the ingredients that create the cosmic manifestation. So that's the simple point, is you have Pradhan, which is all the ingredients, the 24 elements. That's used to create everything, and then Maya is the efficient cause. That's when everything you see is manifested, because then the gunas are going to be there, the jivas are going to be engaged, all these different things. So all the different technical names are simply functions that are going on in these aspects. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Mark, can we say that the efficient cause would be the desire of the living entity?
Means the efficient cause, means it's Krishna's will that these potencies are there and can perform these functions, then they will be performed according to the living entity. It's just like a restaurant. What does it serve? Right? Means there is the ingredient, you know, at cause like that. Means that it has all these things and, you know, it has a whole machine. But then it's going to be, someone comes in, orders something, that's the, you know, you could say the nimitta, why you see the transformation there. Does that make sense? But it's already worked out. You have 8,400,000, so Krishna knows what people want. Like that. You know, because if you say, oh, well, nobody wants all that, like, how many critters are there? You know? You know, there's those weirdo fishes and stuff, but there's plenty of them. So that means somebody wanted it. You know, those ones they always show, that one, it's like little tail and a little bit big body and this monstrous mouth with these huge, like really long teeth. You know, and that little thing that off the head with a little light on it. No. They're in deep ocean. You know?
Yeah.
Somehow or another, I always thought they're about like this big. I saw the other day a picture of it, you know. It's like from that column to this column here. They're monstrous. Yeah. But somebody wants to do that, you know. Yeah. So does that make sense? So you're going to have the ingredients and you're going to have what's made with those ingredients. And that potency that makes it happen by the modes. So a living entity is there,
And so then all that's happening. So it's not that, you know, you have to bring somebody along and, you know, whistling, doesn't know what's going on, and then, hey, you know, like that. It's all these living entities are there. So when Krishna breathes in, when you breathe out, they just continue where they left off. So if they were one of those fish, when it all went back in, then when it comes back out, then, you know, he'll be there as one of those fish again.
What can we say regarding the karma? Because we say that human beings, they produce karma.
Yes.
And all the rest, they just reap the karma.
Yes.
So when we say that that's their desire, it's not actually their desire. They're just moving either down side or up.
No, but it's according to desire, because if you do a certain... It's just like if somebody steals and it's against the law, they know that you'll get put in jail. That means they want to be put in jail. You know what I'm saying? They'll say, no, I just want the goods. But the two go together. You know? The two go together. So that's the way it works. So you can say as, no, they don't want that, but they do want that. Otherwise, why would they be doing that? Because other people, why aren't you still? I wouldn't want to go to jail. You know, like this. But the thief does, because then, you know. So that's the point, is that the living entities, they're not actually honest about their position. You know, you live like an animal, therefore then you become one. You know, it's just like you see some animals and how they keep their things, everything's very nice. And other animals, it's a total mess. So you go into someone's house, then you can tell what kind of animal they are. You know? You know, do they work together with others? They just sit around all day? You know what I'm saying? They sleep all day, this and that, you know, get like that. You can become a bear. They sleep 6 months, you know. It's like, you know, that's not bad, right? You know? So whatever it is that you're doing, then you have there. Because the point is human life's meant for self-realization. So if you're doing that, then you're moving up in that way. But if you're not doing that, then you're going to be moving sideways or down. You know, like we were saying, you know, 11th canto explaining how someone is enough piety to maintain human life, but not enough that there's any interest in following the Vedic, scriptures and like that. So then they go sideways. They end up on somewhere else on planet that doesn't know anything about the Veda. And then from there, they drop off the edge of the world. So... But I'm saying this is the simple form. You have ingredients, and then you have that which makes things mechanically work. And then the jiva is involved in that, the modes of nature, and accordingly then it can be given jiva maya, guna rupa, you know, all these different things. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead glances over the material energy, she becomes agitated. At that time, the Lord injects the original semen of the living entities. To impregnate with the seeds of the living entities, the Lord himself does not directly touch the material energy. But by his specific functional expansion, he touches the material energy, and thus the living entities, or his parts and parcels, are impregnated into material nature. Srila Prabhupada. The word svanga vishesha bhasha rupe, indicating the form by which the Lord begets living entities in the material world, is explained herein. He is Lord Shiva. That's what he says. A specific functional expansion. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that Lord Shiva, who is another form of Mahavishnu, is like yogurt. Yogurt is nothing but milk, yet it is not milk. Similarly, Lord Shiva is considered the father of this universe, and material nature is considered the mother. The father and mother are known as Lord Shiva and Goddess Durga. Together, Lord Shiva's genitals and the vagina of Goddess Durga are worshipped as the Shiva Linga. This is the origin of the material creation. Thus, Lord Shiva's position is between that of the living entity and that of the Supreme Lord. In other words, Lord Shiva is neither the Supreme Personality of Godhead nor a living entity. He is the form through which the Supreme Lord works to beget living entities within this material world. As yogurt is prepared when milk is mixed with the culture, the form of Lord Shiva expands when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in touch with material nature. So Vishnu is in touch with material, that's Shiva. Mm-hmm. So he takes care.
for the material energy. And therefore, all the living entities, that's why it says in the glance, is then you have false ego, you have time, and you have the jivas. Right? Because time means then there can be action, so there's agitation there. The jivas are then the seed. Right? And then the false ego, then that's that aspect that then takes on the thing. Because he's the lord of false ego, therefore all living entities born in the material world have a false ego.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? And because there's male and female, therefore every living entity, there's male and female. Like that. That's how it works. So it goes back to that. You know, you can come up with, you know, hundreds of different ideas of how it should be or what you want to call it, but it comes down to there's two. Right. 220-274. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. At a time beyond memory, after agitating the material nature into three qualities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead placed the semen of innumerable living entities within the womb of that material nature. Thus, material nature gave birth to the total material energy, known as the Hiranyamaya Mahatattva, the original symbolic representation of the cosmic manifestation. Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:26-19. Lord Kapila is explaining to his mother the relationship between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and material nature. He is informing her how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original cause of the living entities who are conditioned by material nature. Over and above the 28 elements of the material creation is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. Life comes not from matter, but from life itself. As explained in the Vedas, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam, Katha Upanishad 2.2.13. The Supreme Lord is the original source of life. Yes. Yeah, because you have the Hiranyamaya Tattva, that's the overall thing. And then from that, then you get the individual universes, then all this is then within each universe and that. So, yeah. So then I think Brahma Samhita says that aspect of Shiva that stayed out, that's Sada Shiva, and that aspect that went in, that is Shambhu. 220-275-276. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, in due course of time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavaikunthanath, by the agency of an expansion of his personal self, Mahavishnu, placed the seed of the living entities within the womb of material nature. 66. This is quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:5:26. First, the total material energy is manifested, and from this arise the three types of egotism, which are the original sources from which all demigods, controlling deities, senses, and material elements expand. Right? Because gunamai, because there are the three, but they're all based on false ego. Mm-hmm. So that's why they're all based on avidya. So within avidya, then you have, you know, Srila Prabhupada. The three types of egotism, ahankara, are technically known as vaikarika, taijasa, and tamasa. The mahatattva is situated within the heart, or chitta, and the predominating deity of the mahatattva is Lord Vasudeva, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:26-21. The Mahatattva is transformed into three divisions. One, Vaikarika, egotism in goodness. Sattvika, ahankara, from which is manifest the 11th sense organ, the mind, whose predominating deity is Aniruddha, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:26-27-28. Two, Taijasa, or egotism in passion. Rajasa, ahankara, from which are manifested the active and knowledge-acquiring senses, along with the intelligence, whose predominating deity is Lord Prajumna, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:26-29-31, and three, tamasa, or egotism in ignorance, from which sound vibration, shabda tanmatra, expands. From sound vibration, the sky, akash, is manifested, and then the senses, beginning with the sense of hearing, are also manifested, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:26-32. Of these three types of egotism, Lord Sankarshan is the predominating deity. Right? So then.
So Shankarshan is predominant deity of all, though we see is that he then specifically takes care of the last one. And then Prajumna takes care of the middle and Aniruddha the third. Right? Because then you're going to have the mind, you're going to have the senses, and then you're going to have the manifestation of that and everything else that comes from that. So Sankarshan is actually the lord of the whole thing, but he only takes care of those aspects. So,
it is interesting to know that Tamasa Buddhism in ignorance, it treats sound vibration comes.
Yes.
So it is way the only way to destroy that, it is the Maha Mantra.
Yes.
But
yeah.
If it's not a spiritual sound, it is automatically
material.
To begin ignorance.
Yeah, it means no connection. Because here in ignorance means your identity with it.
Yes.
See, is the Sattvika will be goodness, means, you know, what are the duties, what are the results, goals like that.
Yes.
Tejas will be what's the action, what's the what benefit I can get from it.
Yes.
Like that, and then tamasa will be the actual forms and mechanics of everything. So that's the thing, is we take that forms and mechanics as
yes.
the main.
Yes.
But actually there's what you're doing and why you're doing it, that's not being asked.
Yes.
Oh, you have to work and all that. You have to get a job. Why?
Yes.
You know, it's just like, you know, you just don't ask that. You know, people talk about dogma. You know, oh, you're dogmatic. Okay, then why do you have to have a job? No, you have to be practical. Why do you have to be practical? Why this is practical? You know, you're living like this. People have been living for thousands of years and never did this. Why is that? And so many other people are living and they're not doing what you're doing. Yeah, so the mechanics become the main thing. We don't want to talk about anything else. That's what I was saying before. It's already been explained how we got here, but we don't want that explanation. We have to have a mechanical explanation. You know, that's why it comes up, is that when we look at the universe, how it's done, it's mechanistic. It's not why it's there, what's its purpose, what's the moods, what's the flavors. It's mechanistic. You know, and then we'll say, oh, now it's real science. No, it's not. Because it doesn't explain why it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. You know, what its purpose is. None of that. They can just look at mechanics. Mm-hmm. Okay. 220, 277, 289. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Quote, combining all the different elements, the Supreme Lord created all the universes. Those universes are unlimited in number. There is no possibility of counting them. The first form of Lord Vishnu is called Mahavishnu. He is the original creator of the total material energy. The innumerable universes emanate from the pores of his body. These universes are understood to be floating in the air the Mahavishnu exhales. They are like atomic particles that float in sunshine and pass through the holes of a screen. All these universes are thus created by the exhalation of Mahavishnu, and when Mahavishnu inhales, they re-enter his body. The unlimited opulences of Mahavishnu are completely beyond material conception. Quote, the Brahmas and other lords of the mundane worlds appear from the pores of Mahavishnu and remain alive for the duration of his one exhalation. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom Mahavishnu is a portion of a plenary portion. 67. This is a quotation from Brahma Samhita 5.48. Mahavishnu is the supersoul of all the universes. Lying on the causal ocean, he is the master of all material worlds. I have thus explained the truth of the first personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu. I shall now explain the glories of the second personality of Godhead. After creating the total number of... So that means all what's been explained up to now, that's all with Karanadakshai Vishnu.
Mm-hmm.
So all the different things, the false ego, the whole Mahatattva, mm-hmm. everything about it, all, you know, means all this, every, all the species, everything that can be everything that can be manifest, the primary creation, it's already here. Yeah. Then when you go into the universe, then Brahma will do the secondary creation. Yeah. It's just based on that primary. Yeah. So everything's already been actually established by Mahavishnu. Okay, Mahavishnu is the super soul of all the universes. Right, the total number of universes. I shall now explain the glories of the second personality of Godhead. After creating the total number of universes, which are unlimited, Mahavishnu expanded himself into unlimited forms and entered into each of them. When Mahavishnu entered each of the limitless universes, he saw that there was darkness all around, and that there was no place to stay. He therefore began to consider the situation. With the perspiration produced by his own body, the Lord filled half the universe with water. He then lay down on that water on the bed of Lord Sesha. A lotus flower then sprouted from the lotus navel of that Garbhodakshay Vishnu. That lotus flower became Lord Brahma's birthplace. In the stem of that lotus flower, the 14 worlds were generated. Then he became Lord Brahma and manifested the entire universe. In this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his form of Vishnu, maintains the entire material world. Since he is always beyond the material qualities, the material nature cannot touch him. Srila Prabhupada. The influence of the material energy cannot touch Lord Vishnu as she touches Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Therefore, it is said that Lord Vishnu is transcendental to the material qualities. The incarnations of the material qualities, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, are under the jurisdiction of the external energy. Lord Vishnu, however, is different. In mantras of the Rig Veda, it is said, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam, Rig Veda Samhita 122.20. The words Paramam Padam indicate that he is transcendental to the material qualities. Because Lord Vishnu is not within the jurisdiction of the material qualities, he is always superior to the living entities who are controlled by the material energy. This is one of the differences between the Supreme Lord and the living entities. Lord Brahma is a very powerful living entity, and Lord Shiva is even more powerful. Therefore, Lord Shiva is not accepted as a living entity, but at the same time, he is not considered to be on the level of Lord Vishnu. 220, 290, 303. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the Supreme Lord in his form of Rudra, Lord Shiva, brings about the dissolution of this material creation. In other words, only by his will are there creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the whole cause of manifestation. Right? Because Supreme Lord in his form of Rudra, just like he comes in his form as Brahma, he expands as that, those potencies are there. Maybe a jiva may take up that work, but it's still his potency that gets it done. And so he's the one who creates, maintains, and destroys. Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva are his three incarnations of the material qualities. Creation, maintenance, and destruction, respectively, are under the charge of these three personalities. Garbhodakshay Vishnu, known within the universe as Hiranyagarbha, and the Antaryami, or Supersoul, is glorified in the Vedic hymns. Because Hiranyagarbha, he expands as the super soul. So that's why you see some of the descriptions between Kirudakshaya Vishnu and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, you know, look the same. Because it's talking about the one person, how he's expanded and he's doing this. Right? Okay. Garbhodakshay Vishnu, known within the universe as Hiranyagarbha and Antaryami, or Supersoul, is glorified in the Vedic hymns, beginning with the hymn that starts with the word Sahasrashirsha. This second personality of Godhead, known as Garbhodakshay Vishnu, is the master of each and every universe and the shelter of the external energy. Nonetheless, he remains beyond the touch of the external energy. But still, he's the shelter because it's coming from him. But him dealing with it, he does that as Shiva. right? And then Brahma also working mechanically with it. Then he.
The position of Lord Shiva is not a jiva, therefore he's not going to die.
Right.
If there's no such a thing as, if there's no qualified Shiva, then the Lord takes that position. But at the same time, is he an eternal associate of the Lord in the position of Shiva and never changes? Or is he created every time?
It means he'll expand every time. Just like Garbhodaksha Vishnu and Kiradaksha, they expand every time. But he'll be there. But no, he's always there.
So out of the three, Brahma is the only one who takes a position.
That's there. But at the same time, as you have in Mahavishnu, the Brahma Samhita, that's explaining that his right arm is the aspect of Shiva, his left arm is that of Brahma, Hiranyagarbha. So it's already in the mentality of Mahavishnu. So when the mentality is, I'm the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. So creator, that means Hiranyagarbha. Maintainer, that means Vishnu. Destroyer, that means Shiva. So like that. But at the same time, as then he through Shiva, then that's how he's dealing with the material energy. Because everyone here has that false ego, so they have to deal with that. So then he takes care of that. And then there's going to be, things are done, so Brahma takes care of that. But maintenance, that Vishnu does. Is that, yeah. The other two can't do maintenance. Mm-hmm. Right? Maintenance is the hardest thing. You know, people think, oh no, doing the big project. No, maintaining that big project, that's the hard thing. It means making it, it's a lot of work, but it has an end point, so you can really push for that. But maintenance, that means it's just ongoing every day, day in, day out, like this. So that thing's only Vishnu has the attitude for that. And the other very important point is that to maintain, you have to have ingredients. He produces the ingredients. So the ingredients that Brahma uses come from Vishnu. So only Vishnu can maintain. Brahma can't. He can't produce ingredients. Shiva can't produce ingredients. So only Vishnu can. So he's the maintainer. But because no one else can do it, that's why he takes as the guna avatar. Because no one else can do it. So then he does that. Even though he's not dealing with the material energy. He's beyond that. But he's the only one that can do it. No one else can maintain. So we see is that because of that nature, that of goodness, that's why it's not necessarily glorified. Creating something or destroying something, that gets the attention. Maintaining something, you know, doesn't get, you know, not even we hear about something, oh wow, this has been here for the last, you know, 400 years or so. Okay, not bad. Is that, you know, but create it, who built it, or, you know, then, you know, that somebody comes along with his hordes and knocks it all down, or, you know. It's always interesting, the term for destroying it is raising it.
Yes,
it's raised to the ground.
Yes.
Doesn't make any sense. But that's the way it works. It doesn't mean each thing you pick it up and then drop it, you know. Then maybe, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, well, I guess it's an English thing.
That's what I'm saying.
In other languages, it has the same kind of thing, but it sounds completely different.
It sounds like come and knocked it over or something. You just destroyed it. Or
yeah.
Annihilated it or something. Yeah, but here's some of the English that's raised to the ground. You know, that's what I'm saying. The ground is down and raised is up. So how that works, I don't know. But yeah, whatever. It's like grating something.
Yeah, grating.
Grate means great, right? But you're making it smaller. You know. So why do they call it? Why don't they call it a smaller? You know, and they call it a grater. You know. So. Yes. Yeah. So that was whole Prabhupada's one. Is build something, then you have to maintain it. You can't just build it and then, you know, we're done. Then you have to maintain. So that's the hard thing. So, what to do?
The third expansion of Vishnu is Kiradakshaya Vishnu, who is the incarnation of the quality of goodness. He is to be counted within both types of incarnations, Purusha avatars and Guna avatars. Mm-hmm. Kiradakshaya Vishnu is the universal form of the Lord and is the supersoul within every living entity. He is known as Kiradakshaya because he is the Lord who lies in the ocean of milk. He is the maintainer and master of the universe. O Sanatana, I have definitely described the three Purusha avatars of Vishnu. Definitively, okay. Now please hear from me about the pastime incarnations. No one can count the innumerable pastime incarnations of Lord Krishna, but I shall describe the principal ones. Some of the pastime incarnations are the fish incarnation, the tortoise incarnation, Lord Ramachandra, Lord Nisringa, Lord Vamana, and Lord Varaha. There is no end to them. Quote, O Lord of the universe, best of the Yadu dynasty, we are offering our prayers unto you mainly to diminish the heavy burden of the universe. Indeed, you diminished this burden formally by incarnating in the form of a fish, a horse, Hayagriva, a tortoise, a lion, Lord Nisringa, a boar, Lord Varaha, and a swan. You also incarnated as Lord Ramachandra, Parasuram, and Vamana, the dwarf. You have always protected us demigods and the universe in this way. Now please continue. 68. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10-40. I have given a few examples of pastime incarnations. Now I will describe the guna avatars, the incarnations of the material qualities. Please listen. Right, so you see there's the one who that those functions are coming from. Then there's the ones who are doing them. Does that make sense? Because you're always going to have a cause and effect. And even then that effect becomes the cause of the next thing. Is that? Yeah. Please listen. There are three functions within this material world. Everything here is created, everything is maintained for some time, and everything is finally dissolved. The Lord therefore incarnates himself as the controllers of the three qualities, sattva-guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Thus, the transactions of the material world take place. Because of his past pious activities, mixed with devotional service, the first-class living entity is influenced by the mode of passion within his mind. Such a devotee is empowered by Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. In this way, an incarnation of Krishna in the form of Brahma engineers the total creation of the universe. Srila Prabhupada. The Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Purusha avatar, expansion of Lord Vishnu, accepts the material mode, Sattva-gun, Rajagun, and Tamagun, and thus incarnates as Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva. These are incarnations of the material qualities. Among the many superior living entities qualified with pious activities and devotional service, one, called Lord Brahma, is infused with the quality of passion by the supreme will of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Thus, Lord Brahma becomes the incarnation of the creative energy of the Lord. Right, so there's the piety there, there's that devotional activities that are there, and then you know, he is given this service. Like that. 220-304-2305. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The sun manifests its brilliance in a gem, although it is stone. Similarly, the original personality of Godhead, Govinda, manifests his special power in a pious living entity. Thus, the living entity becomes Brahma and manages the affairs of the universe. Let me worship Govinda, the original personality of Godhead. 69. This is a quotation from Brahma Samhita 549. Right? So this is always bringing us back to it's Krishna who's doing this. That's the whole point of Brahma Samhita. That's why, you know, because I'm sure that the other, you know, how you say 99 chapters may get into so many technical details of the universe that aren't necessary for us to know. Or we wouldn't even be able to understand them. But this, that it's all coming from Krishna, Krishna control, that's the important point. Or we see with in Jayadev Goswami in his prayer to the Das Avatars, then it's about how Keshavas come as all these. So that also is another point we were making at the beginning of the class, that, you know, no need to get bent out of shape. It's Krishna and Govinda. He's taking care of all this. So we take everything back to him. If in a kalpa a suitable living entity is not available to take charge of Brahma's post, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself personally expands and becomes Lord Brahma. Srila Prabhupada. One day of Brahma consists of the four yugas multiplied 1,000 times. Or, according to solar calculations, this is 4,320,000,000 years. And such also is the duration of his night. One year of Brahma's life consists of 360 such days and nights. And Brahma lives for 100 such years. Such is the life of a Brahma. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, what is the value of a throne to Lord Krishna? The masters of the various planetary systems accept the dust of his lotus feet on their crowned heads. That dust makes the holy places sacred. And even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lakshmi, and I myself, who are all portions of his plenary portion, eternally carry that dust on our heads. Srila Prabhupada, this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.68.37. When the Kauravas flattered Baladev so that he would become their ally and spoke ill of Sri Krishna, Lord Baladev became angry and spoke this verse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, expands the portions of his plenary portion, and accepting the association of the material mode of ignorance, assumes the form of Rudra to dissolve the cosmic manifestation. Right, because only he can, means only he can create it, only he can maintain it, only he can destroy it. So his potency is there. So those who are taking care of that have his potency. Right? Srila Prabhupada, this is the description of the Rudra form, which is another expansion of Krishna. Only Vishnu's murtis are expansions of Krishna's personal and plenary portions. Mahavishnu, who lies on the causal ocean, is an expansion of Sankarsana. When Garbhodakshaya Vishnu accepts the material modes of nature for the purpose of dissolving the cosmic manifestation, his form is called Rudra. As already explained, Lord Vishnu is the controller of Maya. How then can he associate with Maya? The conclusion is that the incarnation of Lord Shiva, or Lord Brahma, indicates the absence of the supreme power of Vishnu. Right, because if it says Krishna doesn't deal the material energy, he's above, that means if Brahma and Shiva are dealing with it, then that means they're not in the same position as Vishnu.
Yes. Hmm. We have the three Gunavatars, and there is also Lord Shiva, who is Rudra, that comes out of the anger of Lord Brahma. So is this the same Shiva who is a Gunavatar?
Yeah, it means like just like Brahma is born on the lotus, Shiva is then born from Brahma. Right, because the point is from passion, when you get angry, then you get ignorance.
So Shiva expands into the Rudras.
Yeah, and then he does the other, so you get the 11 Rudras.
Yeah, the 11.
Yeah. Because there's always, when you get down to here, then people want, you know, some direct explanation. And so then, yeah, you know, where did he, oh, he's born from here. Or he's born from, you know. Because people don't ask beyond that. You know? Does that make sense? You know, where did Krishna get his chakra? Oh, that was given by this one. Okay. They're done. So that's the you have here, because that's the whole all the pastimes in that coming are all based on all that. So it's a nice basis. So. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Rudra, Lord Shiva, has various forms, which are transformations brought about by association with Maya. Although Rudra is not on a level with the Jiva Tattvas, he still cannot be considered a personal expansion of Lord Krishna. Right? He's a transformation, not a personal expansion. Srila Prabhupada, Rudra is simultaneously one with and different from Vishnu Tattva. Due to his association with Maya, he is different from the Vishnu Tattva, but at the same time, he's an expansion of Krishna's personal form. This situation is called Beta Beta Tattva, or Achintya Beta Beta Tattva, simultaneously one and different. No? 220, 309? Yeah, not enough time for.
It's very amazing how what we study in Jiva Goswami is Paramatma Sandarbha explained right here.
Yeah.
And it doesn't deviate like a millimeter from what's there.
Yeah.
But we have to see how it actually works. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the same material that we're going through there.
Yes. Means there you get all the details, and here's all the principles. So that's the point, is what's given here, that you know, that's the main way. That's what I was saying about on the, because we're going through it now, about Maya, the two features. One is all the ingredients, the other is how it transforms. Then if you look at it, then all the different names and different aspects, you can see where they fit. Because sometimes the names look similar, sometimes the situations, but it always comes back to what Lord Chaitanya says, that's the essential point. Then it becomes very easy. But that's the thing. That's the point. There's no contradictions between anybody. So if someone finds a contradiction, that means it's mundane. It means their perception. It's not that it's not. So it's not. Oh, he's so intelligent. No, it means he's. You know, that's a. As Lord Chaitanya explained before, that manifestation of the false ego based on tamasa. You know, and for the purpose he wants to be recognized, so therefore the taijas are. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, milk is transformed into yogurt when it associates with a yogurt culture, right? So that's the whole point, is that milk becomes yogurt when it associates with the culture. So the aspect, the expansion of Vishnu becomes Shiva because of its connection with Maya. Right, so she's that culture. Yes.
So is the unspoken fact that with the contact to the material nature, one becomes sour?
Yeah, no, that's there. But you see, is that when you eat yogurt, if you eat a bunch of yogurt, what's the next thing you want to do?
Sleep.
Because it's so cooling on the body that it just puts you to sleep. You know, it's like you go in a room with AC, you fall asleep. Yeah. So it's just that's it.
But the difficulty is not if it's hot, you also fall asleep.
Yeah, it's too hot, but that you could say is unwillingly, but the other one is willing, because you're so covered by them. Thus, yogurt is nothing but milk, but still it is not milk. That's just the position. You know, so that's the position. That's the way it is. Not, oh no, but we said, no. It's just, that's the way it is.
It's a unique position.
Srila Prabhupada. Of the three deities supervising the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the universe, Lord Vishnu is never separate from the original Vishnu. However, Lord Shiva and Brahma, due to their association with Maya, are different from Vishnu. Vishnu cannot be transformed into any form of material energy. Whenever there is association with Maya, the personality involved must be different from Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are called Guna avatars, for they associate with the material qualities. The conclusion is that Rudra is not exactly Lord Vishnu, but rather a transformation of Vishnu. Therefore, he does not come within the category of the Vishnu Tattvas. Thus, he is inconceivably one with Vishnu and different from him. The example given in this verse is very clear. Milk is compared to Vishnu. As soon as milk touches a sour substance, it becomes yogurt, or Lord Shiva. Although yogurt is constitutionally milk, it cannot be used in place of milk. Right? Because its effect is different than that. So, you know, anything that you're supposed to use milk for, you can't use yogurt. You know, it's just like you're supposed to take something, let's say, you know, the aspect of, let's say, heating, then you take milk. If you want cooling, you use yogurt. But then the fun part is that when they digest, milk becomes cooling and yogurt becomes heating. If you take too much yogurt, it makes the blood hot. You can get boils and all kinds of stuff. So it's very far out how it all works. But they have the opposite effects.
You use a sour agent to make yogurt, and then you use yogurt to sour the milk to make paneer.
Yeah. But still, you get something else.
Yes.
So that's why in some, when they're talking like on Chaturmasya, in some, if they want to be very strict, you have milk means only milk. Mm-hmm. And yogurt means anything else other than milk.
Right.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
We generally don't take it so strictly. So. So we don't count mozzarella as yogurt. I don't know about that. That might be taking it. That might be extending it too far. But paneer you could. But in those who are very strict about it, they won't take. They'll only take milk. And then during that yogurt, and then during the other, they won't take milk, and they can take any other form. But you know, we just keep it simple. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.